Welcome to Norris Speaks, Immigration Matters, a limited podcast series where we delve into the economic, employment, and cultural realities of immigration in the Lehigh Valley and greater Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Ray LaHood, member and chair of the immigration group at Norris McLaughlin. On this episode, I'm honored to be joined by Marta Gabriel, a longtime friend of mine, a fellow Lebanese in the Lehigh Valley community, and I'm glad to welcome you to our podcast, Marta. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Ray. Thank you for having me.
I mean, it's truly an honor to have you on here because as I was reading about you, Marta, I know a lot about you. I was a kid when you were going through college, you were starting your career. I always had a lot of respect for you as you were going through your career and really rising up the ranks of the Lehigh Valley business and political scene. And as I was going back, I was reading the Morning Call article to 2015 where it called you our Valley Girl. And that's like a perfect phrase that just like embodies everything about you. And let's talk a little bit about that. So you're from Lebanon, right?
Yeah. My family and I came to the United States in 1973. So I came as a child with my three brothers and my parents, and we settled in Easton.
Why Easton? Why Easton?
Has a very robust Lebanese community, essentially centered around the church there. Mm. So because of that, a lot of Lebanese from the village where I'm from came and settled in Easton.
Yeah. So same village, by the way. It's a great village, you know, and proud to be a Lebanese American.
Right. We were the beneficiaries of chain migration. So my sister who was living here, she and her husband sponsored us. So we were fortunate to have that sponsorship and that support system in place when we came to the United States.
When you say chain migration, you're referring mm-hmm. to being sponsored by a family being member.
Exactly. Yes, yes. And so back then in that era when I came, that's basically how a lot of people came back then. That's how I know a lot of people that are here, not just Lebanese, but, you know, other nationalities, people that I know from the community, that's they have somebody sponsor them and they came here using that vehicle. And I know that that's probably changed a lot since.
Let's talk about that. I mean, we're talking two different times. I mean, you came to the United States from Lebanon in 1973, mm-hmm. you know, 1980s, right. A lot of people came, you know, to our community, the Lebanese community in Easton in 1980s, mm-hmm. early 70s. My parents immigrated here in 70, mm-hmm. 78, I believe. And they are an incredibly hardworking, dedicated community. And I think mm-hmm. about your mother mm-hmm. as one person. And I guess, you know, let's talk about that a little bit. Like, what's changed in today's immigration world?
I think the expectations have changed. My perception is that the expectations have changed when you come to the United States. The way I view it is when my family and I came, all we wanted was basically an opportunity to get established here and to work. We did not want anything from the U.S. government. I mean, we probably qualified for all kinds of social programs, but my parents refused to take any of them because they said that we did not come here for any handouts. We just wanted a hand up. That's what the United States gave us. So my father went to work in a steel mill, my mother in a sewing machine factory, and then we went to school. So my sense is the expectation today is different. There's more of an entitlement mentality. Again, that's my personal perception of it, is that people feel entitled to certain things. Things that they should be able to come here, should be able to get things. And it's a different mentality than my fellow Lebanese had when we came over.
I think about that even in the context of, you know, my mother and, you know, my father. I mean, you know, hearing that your mom worked in the, I just remember your mom when I was growing up, she was a grandmother to me and recently passed away. You know, she's an incredible mm-hmm. person and think about her all the time.
We love you.
She was really a grandmother and I loved her too, I have to tell you. Same way I love you, Marta. But in terms of the ideas, I think of, you know, your mom, I think of, you know, your father, you know, my parents, mm-hmm. you know, your brothers and your sisters, and they're, you know, still incredibly hardworking, incredibly mm-hmm. passionate, incredibly American, even though they were born in mm-hmm. Lebanon and came here. Mm-hmm. They always say they're American, they're Lebanese American. But, you know, I think that's maybe something we could touch upon here is how is the Lebanese community, and you would know this more than I, how are they able to integrate while still maintaining their sense of nationality and culture that they still have today down there with the festival?
And that's a really good question. I mean, when we came, we were really encouraged to assimilate. It was learn the language. Nobody would speak to me in Arabic when I went to Shawnee Elementary School, or was Paxinosa then, I didn't speak a word of English. So it was basically sink or swim. So there were no accommodations other than you had to assimilate to survive. And I think we're fine with assimilating because where we kept our identity was through our church community. So there, you know, we had our mass in Arabic every Sunday. We had our festivals, we had our weddings, we had our funerals. The social activities that bind the community basically carried that heritage and carried that sense of identity there. So we were able to become American and remain Lebanese simultaneously without a lot of conflict within. I mean, of course, there were cases where people could not assimilate and, you know, there were issues that ensued, but for the most part, you assimilate and you, you know,
I can say I do.
And I myself, I was more than happy to assimilate because I the way I saw it is I was given a chance to come to this great country and I was not going to blow it. So,
tell us more. You've really worked incredibly hard. So I was a kid, you know, always Benny and Smith, Crayola.
Right. I feel as if I was given this opportunity, I wasn't going to squander it because I think if we had remained in Lebanon, we left right before the Civil War broke out. I think our lives would have been much more difficult. Our opportunities would have been much more limited. And my parents would have struggled even more. And we would have struggled even more. So we came here. So for me, I saw it as, okay, you were given this opportunity. Really make something of it. That was my outlook. So that's what I did. I mean, I studied hard. I worked hard, still working hard. So it's
does that still exist though? Like, do you think that there still does exist, I think, in our new, say, immigrant community that's coming here?
I mean, I think it does to a degree, but I feel like the expectation is more like, what can America do for me rather than what can I do for America? Like, how can I make it a better place? Yeah. So I think there's been that shift, like speak to me in my language kind of thing. Whereas, you know, we're here, we're given this precious, rare opportunity. You just don't squander that. I mean, there are people like literally dying to get into this country. So
dying every day.
Literally dying every single day. And no human being should have to struggle like that. I think it, you know, breaks my heart when I think about that. And these are human beings.
But these are human beings
with children, with, you know, I every time I see something about refugees, my heart just breaks because if we weren't fortunate enough to come here and to build a life here, could I have been that refugee? I don't know. You know, like it's so sad. I can identify with that.
How many people can, like, how many more can this country, I mean, how much can we do as American?
Right. And that's a really good question. I mean, we're not the only country that could take people, obviously. You know, there's like, 190 countries around the globe. I think we have done our part over the years. So we've been a welcoming society. We continue to be a welcoming society, but you can't break our laws. And again, this is me personally speaking. You can't break our laws and expect us to welcome you. It doesn't fit. It doesn't go together. But again,
with the immigrant community, with immigration, employment-based immigration, I mean, even having worked with the Chamber of Commerce, you know, there is, you know, an element of that foreign talent that's coming in here legally. You know,
I think
they're going through
the
right process.
Right. And I think, Ray, that is one of the best ways that we can help immigrants. It's really, I'm a big believer personally in those immigrant visas. Yeah. We need good workers. There are good people abroad who want to work here. So why have them live in the shadows? Like, why don't you give them permits to work here and legitimately and contribute to society, contribute to their own livelihoods, to their own families?
And another thing that really stands out to me is they say there's 11 million undocumented people in the United States. Mm-hmm. I put that number well above that. It has to be dealt with in some way. But first, they have to protect the borders, you know, before they, you know, move on with kind of immigration reform. But we certainly need comprehensive immigration reform. But more importantly, I mean, like thinking of the future, like employment-based visas, because there's foreign talent all over the world that
and we have a worker shortage. I mean, it's a win-win, really.
Yeah.
Why should 11 million people live in the shadows? That's not, I mean, they're human beings. It's not good for anyone. No one wins in that scenario.
I'm with you on that, then, you know, nobody should live in the shadow. Then there's the other concern that's raised. If you give 11 to 20 million people the amnesty, I mean, that's going to lead to, you know, another 30 million people crossing the border. So, step one is closing or fixing that issue and resolving it with the comprehensive immigration reform.
Right. And I'm not saying amnesty, even like full amnesty as far as like citizenship. I mean, I am saying recognize that they violated our law. Okay. Recognize that, put that out front. And then, okay, we acknowledge that. let's give you a pathway to making a livelihood here, to living here. Not necessarily making them a citizen, because that's, they broke the law. Not to have to live in the shadows, to contribute to the economy, to society, to be, to recognize their humanity.
I agree with you in terms of that. And like, and what's great is that, you know, you and your family, I mean, your, you know, your brother, Tony, your sisters and stuff like that. I mean, truly embody, you know, good immigration in the Lebanese community in Easton and the Italian community in Easton. Really embody what
the
good.
The Greek community, Italian community. I mean, there's, you know, a lot of immigrants from other countries who just share the view and the value that I have in terms of the right way to come here. And also who are eternally grateful for this country for what it's done for us. I mean, to my last breath, I will be grateful to this country for what it's done for me and my family.
I have to tell you, I wouldn't be where I am. I wouldn't be seeing this office without
right,
that.
Exactly. If your father and mother hadn't come here. Exactly.
And, you know, you think about, you know, your mom, you know, and it kind of brings a little bit of tears here, is that when I think of your mom, you know, sitting on the front porch and she saw her pride, you know, they saw their pride in us getting educated.
Yes.
You know, they saw their pride in us doing well, and they wanted us to achieve.
Right.
And I see that, you know, with you and your daughter too. And my sister and her kids here, like the children of immigrants.
And I see with your mom, she's like so incredibly proud of you, what you've accomplished. So again, it's being given that chance, that opportunity, and then making something of it.
What do you see like just overall here, you know, where do you see, you know, immigration in the Lehigh Valley? I mean, you've worked with the chamber, you've worked with the U.S. Senate, you've done a lot of work. You know, a lot in the immigrant communities, the Hispanic part of Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm. You are our Valley girl. So what do you see with immigration in the Lehigh Valley?
Well, the one thing is, I know that the Valley has benefited immensely from immigration, from all kinds of diversity here and coming to the Valley. It's made us a richer community. Where I see it is, we need to fix the system, because we have a very porous border. We have people who are, again, we're not recognizing their humanity. We're not making them legitimate. We need to find a way to fix that, basically. I mean, that's a concern that I have, is that not being here legally, I think, is problematic in many different ways. Yeah. And I know you deal with it a lot. Yeah. And you want to help people, but you also want to follow the law.
It's a conflict I'm always facing, trust me. It really is. It's a conflict I'm always facing.
So, you know, again, ideally, I think if we can, you know, more work permits, I think would be a great thing. The HB1 visa.
I think we just need more immigrants like you coming to the United States, who are coming here willing to devote themselves and dedicate themselves to, you know, to our country and to education, to their family, to their community. Really, like you said, you know, you came here, you were given an opportunity, you took it, and you ran with it. And I think, you know, as I go back and I look back to when I was even a kid growing up, you were a couple years older than me. And
more than a couple,
I always looked up to you. I did. I always have, the respect for you was always incredible.
Thank you. It's mutual.
Thank you so much. This has been Nora Speaks, Immigration Matters, a limited podcast series where we delve into the economic, employment, and cultural realities of immigration in the Lehigh Valley and greater Pennsylvania. I want to thank Marta Gabriel for joining us today, and each of you for listening. Be sure to tune in to our next broadcast for a brand new episode. And if you would like to learn more about immigration law, visit our website at www.nationalimmigrationlawyers.com. We'll be right back.